Thank you, everyone, for sticking around for our last session. We have our ethics session, and it is going to be led by our very own Leah Stewart. And Leah is a member of, with 20 years, over 20 years of healthcare and regulatory experience, but she's a member at Reed & Klayman, and she previously served as the inaugural Associate Vice President for Legal Affairs at the University of Texas at Austin Dell Medical School. And she has an emphasis on managed care. She's spoken on that topic here a number of times, and government programs. So thank you, Leah, for finishing up our program.
Okay, I know that this time is tough, and I know that there are people trying to get to the airport right now. And what I'm going to say is, for those of you who can stay, I'm going to try really hard to make it worth your while. And I've talked some trash about how good this ethics presentation is, and I fully intend to live up to it. So it's going to be an engaging hour, but I am going to tell you that there is a little bit of a barrier to entry, so you will not be able to toggle between this conversation and your phone, because there are enough moving pieces that describing it to you and like having you follow along and participate, and I reserve the right to cold call, will, you know, take some attention. I, of course, know it by heart because I lived it, but you are not, and there are a lot of moving pieces. So let's see here. Okay, so, you know, if hard cases make bad law, sort of what I, like, what about unethical situations? And this is, like, the wildest situation that we're about to jump into. It went on for 5 years in my life, probably more, but, like, 5 years is a conservative estimate. And I'm not going to be able to recap 5 years of my life in this 1 hour, so I've already sort of picked off the chunk that's most relevant to legal ethics for us to talk about. But because it's complicated, and because there's so much of it, it might be that I sometimes don't realize what you don't know. So I really do mean it when I say stop me and ask me questions if somebody gets confused or loses the plot, because that would be totally understandable. And I'm going to sort of take the timeline in chunks and point out, you know, sort of what's happening during that chunk of the timeline, and then I'm going to stop and put some color commentary in, and I'm also going to reflect on the ethical issues, and I'm going to ask, what would you do? So it's a little bit like that TV show. Okay. So if you're going to only listen to part, this is the part to listen to, because this is the background setup, and it will, you know, definitely be relevant to all the things that come. I live in Lost Creek, which is a neighborhood in Austin, so I'm sure we have at least one Austinite still here, too. also my firm. So Lost Creek was not a part of the city of Austin when I moved there in 2003. It was scheduled to be annexed by the city of Austin. It fought annexation. It delayed annexation. It was finally going to be annexed at the end of 2015, but this was decided in, like, I don't know, 2007 or 2008. So it was a slow-moving train towards annexation. If you've never lived in an area that's annexed by a city, you know, before an area is annexed by a city, it has sometimes a municipal utility district to provide its water and wastewater services. And then when it gets annexed by the city takes over the water and wastewater functions, and the MUD, the municipal utility district, ceases to exist. In our case, we also had parks, because MUDs are allowed to own parks. And it was important to Lost Creek that the parks stay under local control. So Lost Creek negotiated with the city to create what was called a limited district. Those are kind of new creatures of statute, and I don't know how to put it. Like, they're dependent on a relationship with a city. So what was going to happen at the end of 2015 is that the MUD was going to convert to a limited district. I was on the MUD board at the tail end, and that meant because it wasn't going to need all the money that it had, because it had been running water and wastewater. You need substantial reserves for infrastructure needs and so on and so forth. So it had a little bit extra of cash. And around that time, it's a hilly neighborhood, big center road through the neighborhood, all downhill. Bikers love it. A biker was going really quickly, and the biker hit a turning car. And biker flew off the car and was killed. So this was at an intersection in the neighborhood that's a little bit challenging from a sightline perspective. And probably part of it didn't help that the biker was moving so quickly, but it also didn't help that the car had poor sightlines and the biker had poor sightlines. So there was a lot of interest after this fatal cycling accident in improving that intersection. So speed up a little bit. We'll say that basically the decision was made to take some of the cash that was no longer going to be needed and use it to put some sidewalks in around this intersection so that pedestrians would not have to cross the road where these poor sight lines existed, and they could walk down a sidewalk to where the...